Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for October 27th, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, the WTO ruling against U.S. cool requirements has set off reaction on both sides of the issue. We'll have that in other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason and Daryl Good talk corn. Specifically, what will it take for futures to reach $4 in the next growing season? It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's see how futures settled on this Monday afternoon. Hard red winter December wheat, 594 and three quarters up one. March, 598 and a half up two and a quarter. Soft December wheat settled at 522 and three quarters up five. March, 536 and a half up five and a half. December corn settled at 363 up 10. March, 376 and three quarters up 10. May, 385 and a half up 10 and a quarter. July, 392 and three quarters up 10. November soybeans settled at $10.06 up 28 and a half. January, 1012 and three quarters up 29 and a half. March, 1019 and a half up 29 and a half. July, 10.30 and a half up 28 and one quarter. December soybean meal settled at 376.80 up 26.60. December soybean oil settled at 32.23 down 16. Last trades now, October live cattle 169.40 up 115. October feeder cattle 238.20 up 30. And then December lean hogs are 89.20. And they are down 105. And those are last trades and settlements from this Monday afternoon. Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says Midwest harvesting will be disrupted by rain today into Tuesday, mostly in the north and east, and again early next week. Rain amounts this week will be 5/100ths of an inch to 6/10ths of an inch. Rain amounts early next week may range from 2/10ths to 8/10ths of an inch. U.S. Delta and southeastern states weather will be very good for wheat planting and summer crop harvesting. U.S. hard red winter wheat country will not get much precipitation during the coming week. Meanwhile, in the southern hemisphere, most of Brazil will receive rain during the next 2 weeks, with sufficient amounts to occur for support of summer crop planting, emergence, and establishment. Rain in Brazil during the weekend was greatest from Mato Grosso to Minas Gerais. Argentina will get rain at one time or another today through Friday. Central and eastern Argentina will receive sufficient rainfall to delay field work for a while. Rain totals may range from 1 to 3 inches and locally more. Buy your tickets today for our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference. It's November 24th at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. In addition to our great marketing panels on corn, cash grain, and soybeans, we've got keynotes on crop insurance, including the ARCPLC decision and farmland values. The cost is $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Looking at today's price action in soy meal and soybeans, would it be fair to say that there's a lack of supplies out there?
Well, there's plenty of supply, for say, unless something happens somewhere, we're going to get shocked here fairly quickly. It's a matter of logistics and harvest activity that's on the fundamental side. It's going to keep a lid over longer term, but short term, there's a few fundamental things supporting it, and technically it's being hugely supported because the trend is higher short term. Several things to look at is, one, we've got another rain event coming at us here, likely, so that's going to slow things down a little bit. We did see a huge harvest weekend and harvest activity, but you got to remember, some of these elevators give guys a couple of days here before they have to decide to store or sell. So that's keeping, some soybeans off the marketplace. We've seen some sales being announced here over the near term. We've seen strong shipments of beans into the pipeline, into the export market. So there's some fairly good demand there. Meal, like you mentioned, is the key here. It's the hot item. It's the talk when you go to the cocktail party here. It's the thing that everybody's jumping on. It started with the idea that transportation is kind of a concern. So you've got these end users, your poultry guys, your hog guys, having trouble getting physical meals. So they're coming in and kind of double booking. It's by truck and by rail both. They don't care. Just whoever gets there first, I need it now. And that's really put the pressure on these crushers to keep on crushing. And logistic-wise, it's given some incentive to, get there in a heartbeat. If they don't not get there, they're exploring the idea of importing meal into the southeast there. So we'll see if that actually happens. Then lastly, too, our good friend Wayne Nelson brought to his attention that what's sort of brewing in the background, don't know if it's a big feature yet, Wayne might be able to share a little bit more light on this tomorrow, is that when you look at these hog feed rations, they're highly sophisticated. And we're seeing a situation where some of this amino acid is in the formulas and so forth. There's a key ingredient that they're being short on, and it's a little above my head. I'm not a nutritionist, but when you look at the hog rations, when they add this additive to the feed, corn and meal usage drops, and so they're more efficient. But they've been able to get some of this additive from China, and there's a good article from Kent Feeds and some of these nutritionists. The consumption of meal can be as much as 20 to 30% more. So that's going to stimulate a lot more corn and meal using these feed rations. And so I don't know if that's entirely it, but that's something that, man, somebody's a speculator, I'm going to jump on that, and I'm going to be a buyer. So it's quite exciting to see a huge rally in the soybean complex warming the Coletta harvest, Dave.
So what does that mean for 14 hedgers? And maybe even more to the point, what does it mean potentially for 15 hedgers?
Well, that's the thing. When it's tough. It's really tough for us here because we recognize the fundamentals, but then technically, it's a different story. But it's creating an opportunity here to, try to get some prices on. We've been looking at price floors, using this rally in here to help put a price floor or raise a price floor. We're not too excited about committing a whole lot to the cash market due to wide basis levels. We think that's going to narrow up later this winter. But with the huge world grain supplies, even though we have a huge world grain demand, we feel you got to use these rallies in here to kind of, incorporate a marketing plan for a price floor. So that's kind of the theme as we go through this election year rally, Dave.
Why are investors becoming net long corn?
Well, there's several things. One is that the green line went above the red line. kind of number one to keep in mind. Number two, there's a group out there, and these guys manage anywhere from $50 million to $1 billion, and they look for overvalued commodities to sell and undervalued commodities to buy. And if you go back 2 years ago, the statement was made, boy, if corn ever gets down to that low $3 level, I'd be a buyer. If beans ever get down to that low $9 level, I'd be a buyer. Well, that's what they're doing. They're wanting to use breaks, undervalued, to gather ownership. And when you look at the seasonal chart, and we can send this out to anyone that looks at it, it's dominant that we put in a October low year after year after year. We have a little seasonal up going into, you know, mid-December, and I think investors are going, you know, they're looking for opportunities, and they're taking advantage of it. But unfortunately, they're keeping the basis wide, but it is helping some cash grain prices in some areas.
So we talked a little bit about 15 hedges for soybeans. What about corn? December corn above $4 for the first time in 8 weeks.
Well, be specific. I think 15 beans, $10 plus, warrants mid-max, which is promoted by one of our main cash grain people who do a very good job, and I think you need to look at that. I think $10 plus is a target to shoot for. And on the corn, as you mentioned, $4. I think $4.25, get close to $4 cash corn. And when you start talking $4 plus cash corn, I think that's not going to deter a whole lot of acres. So we'll get back into this acreage game here this winter, but I think you're buying acres with a $4.15 corn.
What else before we let you go? Other key fundamentals or technicals or other outside features that we need to know about?
Oh, there's just a lot of news out there. There's a lot of moving parts. One guy's going to say, hey, look at this. Another guy's going to say, hey, look at that. And it's going to be real noisy. I think you just got to push the pencil in your own situation. And to get together with some of these fine folks you have on your program here and develop some type of plan and stick to it, because it's going to be an emotional roller coaster all winter long.
Thank you, Kurt.
Take care, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In agricultural news, supporters of country of origin labeling have 60 days to appeal a WTO ruling against USDA's rule on meat labeling. Supporters say any problems with current cool rules can be dealt with administratively, a position not taken by Canada and Mexico, the two countries that won the case against USDA's rule. The revised 2013 cool regulations at issue require meat producers to specify on retail packaging where each animal was born, raised, and slaughtered. The WTO faulted USDA's rule, saying that it violates international trade obligations. Canada has threatened to retaliate with a price tag of $2 billion. Mexico has yet to release its retaliation list. A group of Republican senators have asked the EPA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to withdraw the proposed Clean Water Act rule, alleging the agencies are not taking seriously opposition to the rule. The senators questioned the legitimacy of the current public comment period process set to expire on November the 14th. The senators said the process has been biased and EPA has been dishonest with the American public on a number of fronts. The senators allege EPA blatantly misrepresented the impacts of the proposed rule and that EPA may have violated the anti-lobbying law by advocating for the proposed rule on social media, including a Ditch the Myth campaign. CME Group today says that it is reducing electronic trading hours of livestock futures. Electronic trading will follow a new schedule with different hours on different days. On Mondays, the market will open at 9:05 a.m. Central Time and close at 4 p.m. Central Time. Tuesday through Thursday, the markets will trade between 8 a.m. Central Time and 4 p.m. Central Time. And the trading day is shorter on Fridays, opening at 8 a.m. Central Time and closing at 1:55 p.m. Central Time. Open outcry trading hours for livestock futures and options remain unchanged. The head of the UN's panel on climate change has urged world governments not to be overcome by hopelessness as they negotiate a new agreement to fight global warming. The IPCC is meeting in Copenhagen this week to adopt the final report in its gigantic assessment of climate change. Zambia's state food body has doubled its purchases of corn following a record harvest. The Food Reserve Agency purchased 1 million metric tons of corn from farmers for about $230 million, which is double its strategic requirement of 500,000 tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Guarantee your seats at our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference on November 24th. We got straight talk from our U of I experts on the ARC-PLC decision, crop insurance and farmland values into 2015, and all of our on-air analysts will be on hand to bring you the latest on marketing corn and soybeans and cash grain ideas. Get your tickets today for the meeting at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus by calling 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. Tickets are just $25 and include lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. If corn farmers want a break-even price for their crop next year, they'll need to plant fewer acres of it. Todd Gleason has more on how one ag economist has forward-figured the number of corn acres needed in 2015 to push cash prices back above $4 a bushel.
Well, the calculations are complicated and continually evolving, but possible to do. One way to approach the question of how many corn acres are needed in 2015 is to determine the combination of production, consumption, and year-ending stocks that would result in a 2015-16 marketing year average farm price closer to the cost of production. That's estimated to be in the low $4 range, assuming trend yields, in much of the Corn Belt, and requires a stocks-to-use ratio, a combination of all the factors just listed, of about 12%, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
If we look forward to say, okay, how much old crop corn are we going to start with next year? What's our consumption base going to be next year? And assuming it's the same as this year, and we want to get our stocks down to about 1.6 billion bushels, how many acres of corn would we need to plant? Well, first of all, you have to say, well, what are we going to yield next year? And just start with the idea that we have a trend yield, 162.5 bushels, that we need to plant about 7.8 million acres more than we harvest. We need to harvest about 80.5 million acres of corn next year, plant something over 88 million, which would be about 2.6 million less than we planted this year.
Again, in order to get to a 12% stocks-to-use ratio, and more importantly, a cash price for corn somewhere just north of $4, U.S. farmers would need to plant about 88 million acres. This is certainly possible. The number is roughly what U.S. farmers planted to corn in 2010. However, the dilemma is that reducing the number of corn acres usually means those acres are planted to either wheat or soybeans. And there isn't any real call for more bushels of those crops.
You know, I think that's the dilemma right now. We do know that total cropland acreage, the USDA's official estimates do vary somewhat. But just saying that if we're looking at a fixed pie in terms of total crop acres, if we reduce corn 2.6 million, where is that going to go? Right now, the prices favor a little more wheat, a little more soybeans, in favor of corn. And then the question is, do we really need more acres of those two crops? And again, starting with the assumption of trend yield next year, you would say we probably really do not need any more acres of those two crops either.
U.S. wheat stocks are expected to increase during the current marketing year, and a trend yield in 2015 would result in a larger crop than produced this year, with no increase in acreage. A trend soybean yield in 2015 would result in a smaller crop than produced this year, but production would still exceed the projection of use during the current marketing year. It may be, thanks Darrell Good, that low prices will result in some decline in total crop acres in 2015. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with Cash Grain Analysis is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we're just about 30 minutes or so away from USDA telling us what the harvest looks like as of Sunday. What are your anticipations?
Well, I think around our area, we made good progress last week, and we'll probably see Illinois probably up in the 70% range on both corn and beans. Unfortunately, I guess for the guys in the northern part of the state, they're going to be at the lower end of that range, and the people in the south are going to be farther along than that. And I think that's about right where we are, you know, in this area, 75%, somewhere in there.
So has the harvest been orderly enough not to impact bases so much around here?
Well, it's been orderly. The weather, we had some wet weather last week or the week before, but last week was a good week, and this week looks pretty good. I guess that's a problem, though, when it comes to trying to get all this grain moved in a timely fashion. The railroad performance has been terrible, as evidenced by soybean basis and soybean meal basis. The pipeline was empty going in. And this slow harvest and even the slow transportation where it is being harvested is causing meal basis to just explode higher. The people that need meal just cannot get it.
In fact, they're trying to get it off the trains and put it on trucks, or get it off the trucks and put it on trains.
Exactly. And I don't know when that's going to get any better. I mean, we'd like to think it's going to get better at, you know, sometime soon, but so far it hasn't.
So if soybeans are, you know, 60-65% harvested, why are beans so hard to come by right now?
Well, you can't get them from point A in the Midwest to point B in the Southeast, and you know, you can get them. It's hard enough to get them to the processor, and then it's hard enough for the processor to get trains in to get those, to get the soybean meal to the feeders. So you've got to rely on the railroad twice: once from the farmer to the processor, and once from the processor to the feeder. And that's just not happening in a timely fashion this fall.
So are those feeders then saying, "We'll double down. We will go with truck and rail, and we don't care which we get first"?
Yes, they're pulling their offers on the rail, and then they're replacing it with offers, you know, just you get it to me and I'll pay you basically whatever price, you know, it takes to get it here, but get it here. So yeah, we're seeing rail bids being replaced with truck bids at this point.
What are producers making of this big rally in beans?
I think they like it, but they sold off quite a bit all spring and or all summer and all fall. So we're still not at what people would consider really good prices, but they're certainly better than where we were. So it has not translated into farmer selling yet at this point on either corn or beans.
Okay, very quickly, your prices then, please.
All right, cash corn is $3.31 for fall, $3.56 for January. $9.79 for cash beans, $9.98 for January. Cash wheat is $5.08, and next July is $5.27.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. It's American Beer Day. Beer is the world's oldest and most widely consumed alcoholic beverage, and it's the world's third most popular drink after water and tea. Some of mankind's earliest known writings refer to production and distribution of beer. The earliest Sumerian writings contain references to beer as early as the 5th millennium B.C. On this day in agricultural history in 1811, Isaac Singer was born. An American inventor, he designed the first continuous stitch sewing machine. But one of his biggest inventions was a new way of marketing to consumers. He spent millions of dollars on advertising and made purchasing affordable by offering installment credit. In 1919, Congress overturned President Woodrow Wilson's veto of the Volstead Act, which ushered in prohibition. The act made it a crime to manufacture, sell, barter, transport, import, export, deliver, furnish, or possess any beverage containing over 0.5% alcohol. And in 1920, KDKA in Pittsburgh received a license from the U.S. Department of Commerce to broadcast. But their first radio show, Returns of the Harding Cox Election, did not occur till a week later. They had to wait for the license to arrive at the station. It was the first radio program to reach an audience of any size in the U.S. About 1,000 people tuned in. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is Mark Russo from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
Well, I guess the question on everybody's mind is how open will the next week be for harvest?
It's looking quite open here across the Midwest as this drier than normal pattern that's in the place over the past week or so looks to persist as we end the month and begin November. It's not a bone dry week, but the only real system of note here is coming up just on Wednesday and into early Thursday. Fast moving cold front produced some shower and thunder shower activity, but nothing very heavy or widespread is expected. And that looks to be the only blip here this week, if you will. If we look ahead to next week, again, the middle part of next week will feature a front fast-moving frontal passage, but rain activity looks minor. So overall, it looks like a fairly open period here of harvest weather from now through the next few weeks.
I want to turn our attention to South America today because in the last few days, Mato Grosso finally got the rain that it needed.
Yeah, it certainly did. Over the weekend, we saw kind of general coverage here. Well, at least over 70-75% of the soybean acreage picked up over half an inch, with several areas picking up 2 to 4 inches of rainfall. And we see more on the way for Mato Grosso, let alone the northern bean belt in Brazil over the next few weeks, as this ridge of high pressure that produced the hot and dry conditions over Mato Grosso is now out of the picture, or at least out away from the region, and that's allowing these storms to fire up across central Brazil. And we see this new, more favorable rainfall pattern continuing over the next couple of weeks, and so that's an improving situation here for Brazil.
Turn your attention to Argentina. What about them?
Yeah, you're not seeing quite as much rain across Argentina as you have in Brazil, but nonetheless, soil moisture conditions are adequate levels at this time. One thing we do need to watch is actually on the temperature front, where a shot of cold will occur later on this week and produce temperatures down to right around freezing, it looks like, on Friday and or Saturday mornings. That does not look to be threatening, but we just got to make sure things don't trend colder as we go through the week, i.e., you know, temperatures in the 20s.
All right, let's come on back to the United States and look at hard red winter wheat and soft wheat country and what you think there.
Yeah, well, this kind of drier than normal pattern across the Midwest is certainly impacting planting of hard red winter wheat in the plains and then also Midwest soft red winter wheat. And so overall, your soil moisture conditions are in pretty good shape. Still a few dry pockets here and there in portions of the plains hard red belt, but overall, the soil moisture condition much improved versus a year ago. And across the Midwest also, generally adequate soil moisture reserves for favorable soft red winter wheat growth.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Dave.
That's Mark Russo, and he is with Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can go to our website and hear this program again. It's at WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.